Frank Mogwegwe, how are you, Frank?
I'm good. Good evening, Bruce. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm so excited to be here, you know, to crack a nod on this wonderful show. I'm really, really
You know
happy.
That you are the inspiration for the Make Money Mondays personal edition. Did you know that?
Well, I believe so. I wasn't aware until your producer told me a few days ago. So, yeah, thanks for giving me that credit, Bruce.
No, for years we've been thinking we should really get well-known South Africans on the radio to talk about their attitudes towards money, and we just couldn't crack a formula for it. And you came onto the radio the last time we chatted, and you spoke about your small Inyana skeletons, and suddenly it all fell into place.
And what wonderful shows, Joy. I mean, Bruce, that you have had. And I can only remember listening to, you know, Dr. John Carney. Listening to Barry Roo. I mean, people from all walks of life. And one always picks little nuggets, you know, from their relationship with money.
Now, but why do you think that's important? I mean, you are in the financial services sector. There are rules to making money. You can buy books on how to make money. But generally, my feeling is most of them are really boring.
That is true, Bruce. And I think, you know, humans are wired for stories and storytelling. And I find that, you know, just listening to, you know, to people, how they dealt with various situations or how they deal with their money, you know, there are always things, you know, one can learn. And in fact, what I have come to believe, Bruce, is that every single person has a money story. And that money story has an impact on our lives, you know, whether we are aware of it or not. And let me quickly share a story with you that really made me reflect and think about that, Bruce. So about 3 years ago, you know, my story, maybe we'll touch a little bit, you know, on that a little bit later. But, you know, I've got two girls. Kanye turned 16 last week, a Thursday. Noma Temba is turning 13 in November. And I'm the sort of person who, you know, thrift, use money wisely when I go shopping. You know, I've got my list and so on and so forth, you know, as a financial planner. And I realized one day when my daughters turned and looked at me when we had sent in city, and I was just about to say, but girls, we can't buy this because it's not on the list. And before I could even get it out, you know, Kanya, and you know, as a 16-year-old, you know, she looked at me and said, Dad, and she's like waving a finger, please, no more poverty stories. And Bruce, that hit me hard. And when I reflected on that, I said, yes, it's good to teach the kids thrift, but I must also be careful that, you know, the message that I'm giving them, the money story that they will remember, is every time their father reminding them about his stories and using money wisely, etc., etc. So, you know, just using that story for me really, you know, illustrate the power of our money stories and the power they have on our lives.
Well, I certainly do. And if you're wondering what money story and what poverty story Kanye, 16-year-old Kanye, was berating her father about, it is the story of how 1993 you got fired from the bar for drinking the boss's drinks, ended up in Joburg. 5 weeks later, your distant relative said, sorry, you can't stay here anymore. And you spent 9 months through the winter of 1993 on the streets, sleeping in Joubert Park, but running your own hawker's stalls, researching in the public library, being referred by a wonderful woman to go and study actuarial science at Wits University, passing with flying colors and entering the corporate sector. I don't mean to undermine your great poverty story here, Frank, but that's it in a nutshell, right?
You did it under 2 minutes, Bruce. Well done. You've just summarized my life story.
But you're much more than that now. Frank, now, let's no more poverty stories, but what is your earliest memory of money? Going back to the Eastern Cape.
So, you know, my earliest story around money, Bruce, I was around about four. And I had gone to live with my aunt, who was a nurse at the time. And one thing that struck me, I was with her for a couple of months. It was really two things. And the first was that in the morning, I had a choice of breakfast cereals. You know, there was cornflakes, there was Weet-Bix. Whereas in my own home, I never had that. To top it all, Bruce, in the evening, there was dessert. There was, you know, custard and peaches, or there was custard and jelly. And you know, for a four-year-old, I didn't judge. But what stuck with me, Bruce, was my father works. He's a taxi driver. Mm-hmm. My aunt is a nurse. Why don't we have these lovely things in our own home? I didn't really have the answer. I only learned of it probably about 3 years later. But really, my earliest memory is just looking at, you know, cornflakes. We didn't have them. Dessert, we didn't have it. And she was a single parent, my aunt. and she's got these in a home.
And so the lesson was?
And the lesson, Bruce, it talks a little bit about my intro in the money story, that when I fast forward, right, for me, the way I relate with money, fast forward 3 years later, when I was about 7, I then realized that we didn't have lots of money in our household, but we were pretty much like, you know, everybody else in the community. But relating that initial impression when I was with my aunt, what I realized was that my father really held on to the money that he made. My mother didn't work, and it was very difficult for him to let go of his money. When he let it go, there was always a lecture behind it.
Yeah. Do you find, haven't you repeated that as well in your house? I mean, that's Connie's lesson. She said, no more poverty stories, Dad, please.
And Bruce, it hit me hard. Yeah. I realized there lies my money story. I've done relatively well in the corporate world, but for the kids, it's certainly to verbalize that. It means I say it so often, without me even realizing, I'm thinking I'm teaching them the lesson of being thrift. Yet, if I'm not careful, when they grow up, you know, they will have this scarcity mentality. You know, that the cake is small, I must have, you know, the largest piece. As opposed to the abundance mentality that says, you know, let's grow the cake. So for me, it was really important. And those two money stories, Bruce, in terms of my earlier memories, really have stuck with me.
How then do you balance between a scarcity mentality and an abundance mentality without going to extremes on either side? Because both are destructive in different ways.
Absolutely. And what I have found, you know, works for me, Bruce, and, you know, really working through, I had to think a lot about it. And I'm using that when I talk to a client about really about these money stories. But what I then realized, the balance that I had to strike, and I'm on my way, you know, to doing that with my girls, is to have a framework around how we talk about money. So firstly, Bruce, in my household, we never talked about money. And I have just made it a point that I openly talk about money. Guys, rent, school fees, uniforms, it cost us this much. And so talk about money. And the framework I use, Bruce, is the three S's. So I talk to them about when you get money, there's really three things that you can do with it. You can spend it, you can save it, or you can share it. So I use that framework to say, you know, it's important for you to realize mentality of scarcity says, I can't share. I don't have enough. And I use that framework to say, it doesn't matter how much you have. Somebody doesn't have as much as you have. You have to share, whether it's giving a church, whether it's, you know, getting your friend, you know, birthday present. At the same time, you need to spend a little bit on yourself as well to have that abundance mentality. So that framework has really worked well, you know, with my kids. And, you know, I also use it when I do my, you know, financial education workshop. So that is talking about money and having a framework in which you talk about it in the household.
My guest this evening, Frank Mugwegwe, nowadays an executive at MMI, the big insurance company. He has really had lows and some highs in his life. He's riding on the high at the moment, and we're learning about how money was treated in his house as he grew up, and his struggles with conveying messages around money today, as he lives in far greater abundance than perhaps he did in 1993 when he lived rough on the streets of Joburg. More with Frank Mugwegwe in just a moment.
The Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
Tennyson in Rheimsich, you want to talk about scarcity mentalities?
Bruce, yes, I want to talk about that. But before I do that, can I just vouch for the friend that at Vert University, when I met him in 1994, the story that he's telling amused me all the time, and it's something that has made me admire him and respect him throughout my life. I think about him every time. He has this mentality of like, it is possible. I remember the things that he used to do, and nobody could tell that Frank was coming from a situation that he came from, because he never begged anything from anyone. But he had this positive mentality of wanting to achieve. And for that, it's something that I really want to put down and say, Frank, you have done well.
Ah, thanks, Tennyson.
So, Tennyson, just tell me about scarcity mentality quickly, but then I can carry on with Frank.
Yes. Now, when it comes to scarcity mentality, I think what Frank is saying, it's really demonstrated in how he lived his life. There was obviously scarce resources, and that's something that he knows, that not everything comes very easily. But the way he went on with his life, I think he created a bit of abundance in terms of how he handled things. How, you know, there's a lot of things that we did together with Frank. I mean, at the one point we were residence assistants together. And, you know, we've been paid a little money. I used to spend mine and forget about anything. But how Frank handled it was a completely different story.
Tennyson, thank you for that memory. And I mean, yeah, but it is, and it comes down to attitude. And you've told us about that attitude many times in the past, Frank, as to how you treat that money. And when money is scarce, it's good to treat it with scarcity, with that mentality. But at the time, when you've got excess money, it's okay to enjoy at least some of it.
Absolutely, Bruce. I mean, money is at the center of our lives, you know, there's no doubt. So there's no point, you know, in hoarding it and, you know, not sharing, not having experiences because you worry that, you know, one day I might run out of it. So I think that balance is what one needs to achieve. And I feel in times in South Africa that, you know, we have tipped on the other end where, you know, a lot of clients that I talk to, Bruce, you know, they spend far more than they earn, you know, hence a lot of challenges with, you know, with credit and garnishee orders and just people struggling to make their, you know, their debt payments.
Yeah, and it's a reality, unfortunately, that we live with. You told us about your small Inyana skeletons the last time we chatted, and you told you invested in the company that made a product called the Easy Wee. But what has been your very best money decision ever? Go back to 1993, going back to opening the first spaza, whatever it might be.
Absolutely, Bruce. I've got two. I told you about, you know, moments, you know, medical supplies were terrible, in terms of, you know, how I learned how to, you know, to invest and how the stock market works. But let's move on to, you know, the best money decision. I'm going to quickly touch on them. There are actually two, Bruce. The first one is having lost my job and I am at the train station at Port Elizabeth. I've been fired for drinking on the job. I'm told you don't have enough money to get to Joburg. And I decide, anyway, I'm just going to buy a ticket to get to wherever I can get with this money that I have. And it was Bloemfontein. And this is one of the best money decisions that I made, Bruce. When I was in Bloemfontein for about 5 weeks, home was the Bloemfontein train station. I saved every cent of what I was earning. You know, I had these amazing fringe benefits, you know, Vienna's chips, fish from the fish and chips shop. I had free board at the train station. So I saved enough money to continue to Johannesburg. That is one of my best money decisions. I would have never got to Johannesburg had I not done that. Similarly, on the streets, being broke, really struggling to make ends meet. Then I come across Evelyn. For about 5 weeks, I help her to pack her fruits and veggies. She thanks me with food, sometimes with money, and sometimes with some fruit. Again, I managed to save a little bit of money. In that instance, 50 rands. And that 50 rands, I used it to buy the first stock for my first fruit and vegetable business on Corner Plain in Wanderers. 10 kg of potatoes, a crate of tomatoes, a sack of onions, and off I went. Without that, I would not have beat the odds and escaped homelessness. So those are my two best money decisions.
How much is enough for Frank Magwegwe today? How much is enough?
Bruce, I must admit, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago, I moved away, Bruce, from, you know, random acts of kindness where, you know, I would get a call, whether it's the Salvation Army or the Sea Rescue Institute or it's Scotland, you know, then I would donate to them where I said, I really want to make impact. Education has been, you know, a bridge to a better life for me and I want to make that same impact. And I started, Bruce, about 4 or so years ago to put aside 5% of my earnings. They are a donation to my NPO, Inspire Belief. And I use that for, you know, educational programs, scholarships for kids at Masibambane College in Orange Farm. We've got 3 kids now that we're sponsoring that are at university. We give them what I call, you know, Inspire Belief, you know, fellowships. And in fact, in the 3 years that we've run Inspire Belief, Bruce, my contribution just from my own earnings, just under 10% now. I've done well. I don't need a bigger house. I don't need a bigger car. Therefore, I want to inspire other people for education to be the bridge to a better life. And what a better place to do that in a community that's really poor, Orange Farm.
Frank, you never cease to amaze. And I thank you so much for coming in again and sharing another part of your story.
Thank you for having me on your show, Bruce. I thoroughly had a good time.
It's so nice to have you. And again, just to helping people change their mindsets around money. And as Kandi has helped change you, our kids will change everything. They really
will. And I'll send you a check, Bruce, for the idea, given how successful this slot is now.
No, I'm not sending you a check. Jeez. Like, yeah. There's no intellectual. There's no. Oh, I don't know. I've got myself into trouble. Frank McGuire.
Thank you, Bruce.
Senior executive of Momentum Retail, the inspiration behind the Make Money Mondays personal edition feature. He's the guy.